Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. Greg, how are you doing this fine day, sir?
We're off and roaring, Jim. A great start to a great day and hopefully a great four quarters of Penn State football talk.
Hopefully. If those of you wonder why we're laughing at that statement, Greg is over there spilling stuff. I'm over here stumbling on our starting point, but we will get to it, Greg. We're going to get to 1 hour of Penn State football talk. And as you and I usually do, let's start with our recruiting slash transfer portal segment. Let's start on the recruiting front. And Dustin and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, but Drew Aller, the quarterback from Ohio, who we know has been climbing the ranks of the recruits, ESPN came out with a new ranking. They have him all the way up to number 37 and the number 3 pro-style quarterback in the country. First off, any surprise there that he's ended up ranked that high?
Yeah, I mean, not really. He's really blown up over the last couple of months, as we discussed back when he committed to Penn State. You know, the Lions were not the only school, Jim, that paid a lot of attention to him during the winter and start of the spring months. So the fact that he's moved up so high is not a total shock. You know, maybe the one thing that's a bit surprising is that there still hasn't been any camps or anything. I mean, there's been some, but not a ton. So, you know, I think that's obviously one thing to keep in mind, is that there's certainly more evaluation points coming on the horizon. But, yeah, ultimately, I think that this is yet another indication of why Mike Yurcich targeted him from pretty much the time he got to campus, why Penn State really put on a full-court press to to get him in the fold, and why they were so excited when they ultimately landed his commitment, because with him and Bo Prabula, they have two extremely talented players and have to feel good about at least one of those guys becoming a stud down the road. Obviously, they won't be on campus this season, but certainly next year, both of them, you would think will be competing for the starting job.
And again, when you're talking about recruiting at an elite status, it always has to start at quarterback. I wanted to ask you, Greg, you follow recruiting closely. How exactly do these recruiting rankings work? This is ESPN. Is that an indicator we'll probably see 24/7 follow suit? And what is the process that makes a guy make this kind of jump?
Yeah, so, I mean, ESPN's a little bit different than the other recruiting services, 247 Sports and Rivals, in that they don't have as many people out and about. So, you know, when we talk about the 247 Sports team, for example, you have Brian Doan on the East Coast, a friend of the show, of course. You have Brendan Huffman on the West Coast. You have Alan True in the Midwest. And you have a bunch of guys between Florida and the other southern states and the other western states besides just California. And so they have a lot more people out and about getting tape, getting footage, meeting these kids in person, getting accurate measurements, things like that. Rivals does as well. ESPN has a bit of a smaller team. And from what best I can tell from the outside looking in, they rely a lot more on game tape to do their updates. And obviously, I'm sure that some of the Elite 11 camps and things like that play a role, but it really seems to me like they rely more on game tapes than the other outlets do, as in terms of they go out and really see these guys in action and get their own film. So, you know, that's probably the biggest difference. And frankly, it's because those two sites, 247 Sports and Rivals, as far as I can tell, just have more contributors and more people on the payroll to go out and do these things, where ESPN's a much smaller operation. So I believe Tom Luganville still runs that. But yeah, when a guy makes a rise like this, it's clearly because, in this case, I would think that his senior or junior tape probably was either not terribly closely looked at, Jim, or was not very highly regarded at first when it came out. And then upon further review, they said, whoa, we got to move these guys move this guy up the ladder, because he is that good of a player. And I think he's really impressed people with some of the offseason stuff that he's done and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, this is a big jump, but you got to keep in mind too, Jim, that we are still in pandemic recruiting, and that means the chance to see guys, it's not as easy. There's not as many opportunities. And so guys are going to get offers or get rankings bumps when their tape and info comes out and people see, you know, see what they can do. So you got to keep that in mind as well. It's not like necessarily how it used to be.
All right, Greg, let's hit the transfer portal a bit now here. A couple of Penn State receivers, former Penn State receivers, have made their announcement where they're headed. It was a few days ago we found out Zach Kuntz is going to be off to Old Dominion with old friend Ricky Ronnie there. And then just recently, TJ Jones has finally found a new home at UAB, Alabama, Birmingham. This follows John Dunmore, who was another transfer receiver who I can't remember which was it, Florida Atlantic he ended up, or at one of the smaller schools. Is there anything to read into the fact that all three of these receivers ended up at much smaller schools, much smaller programs?
I mean, it's interesting to me that you can kind of look at it two ways, right? Like, so on one hand, you can say them leaving Penn State is not the worst thing in the world, Jim, because they're not going to what we would think of as an equal new home. It's a little bit lesser in terms of the prestige, in terms of the competition, and so on and so forth. But the flip side to that argument is you could say that Penn State very much missed on its evaluations with guys like this, and there'd be very little argument you could make to the contrary. I mean, they obviously have looked at, you know, looked at how things went wrong here, and I'm sure that helped them for the future. But, you know, this isn't the first time, especially at receiver, they've lost guys. I think the receiver changes probably have as much to do with the constant turnover of coaches as anything else. I mean, those guys are, in some cases, being recruited by one guy, but by the time they show up on campus, there's a new guy there who they don't know all that well, who's not the coach who recruited them. So I think that probably played a role in it. I think that obviously the changing offenses probably played a role in it. So, you know, some of these guys, it's easier than others to look at and say, you know what, it makes sense why that didn't work out. Whereas some, it's just a straightforward evaluation miss by the coaches, by the recruiting services, whatever. A guy was a four-star out of high school, and guess what? He did not play like a four-star, which is why he's moved to a different place. So, you know, I think obviously all these different factors come into play when you're talking about why guys go into the portal. And certainly with the two guys we're talking about here, TJ Jones and Zach Kuntz, you know, we certainly wish them both the best, but I don't think they exactly lived up to the billing that either one of them had coming out of high school. You know, Kuntz was supposed to be one of the nation's best tight ends. He was a really big kid, but keeping weight on was always going to be a problem. And it turned out that that was exactly the case, that him, you know, getting in the weight room and trying to keep weight on and stuff was a challenge. And so that plays a role in why he moved on. He was also stuck, of course, behind Pat Freiermuth. And let's be honest, I think he was going to be stuck behind Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson, too. So, you know, that played a role in his decision to move on. So you combine that with, you know, the TJ Jones news. And again, that was a wide open receivers room. In a lot of ways, it still is a wide open receivers room. But, you know, just because it's a wide open receivers room doesn't mean you're guaranteed a job. And I think TJ Jones was quickly finding out that between Parker Washington, between, you know, some of these other guys in there, Keandre Smith-Lambert, Jahan Dotson, of course, some others, that maybe the path to the field was not exactly going to be as easy or as straightforward as he thought.
A couple quick notes with TJ Jones. I think it's interesting to mention, a year ago at this time, he was number one on the depth chart, if you recall, coming out of spring. The other thing to note, with the free year that they get for eligibility, and I believe he redshirted his first year on campus, when he hits UAB, it will be his third year on a college campus. He will still be listed as a freshman. And I believe I read somewhere he's actually going to be 21 years old as a freshman. So it's really interesting how this whole year, free year, has affected the eligibility for these players. All right, let's start looking forward now, Greg. We've been talking for quite a bit about they're scheduling visits in June. They're doing that just in case. Now it appears we're hearing reports that the dead period will not be renewed at the end of May. In other words, come June, we should start seeing these official visits.
Yes, correct. And so when you look at all that has gone into this pandemic year of recruiting, Jim, you know, the lack of visits and official visits, of course, in that group has really been one of Penn State's biggest detriments when you think about the challenge that, you know, the challenge that Penn State's had with some of its top targets and top ones. So the visits are going to be key. But guess what? It's not just Penn State who gets to host players here moving forward. It's obviously every other school in the country is going to have that chance as well. And so they have a really solid list of guys who want to come visit campus in the month of June. And again, to your point, it looks like that dead period is going to get out of the way here and let kids take visits again. And so there will be some unofficials, some younger guys who come to campus, but most of these guys will be official visits. And, you know, it starts right out of the gate the first weekend of June with Ryan Brubaker, the Cocalico offensive lineman, class of 2022 target, one of Penn State's top offensive tackle targets in this class. He's going to be on campus, and I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It's pretty much all the guys we've been talking about and more for the last couple of months, Jim. It's been guys who put Penn State in their top 12, their top 8. It's commitments, it's uncommitted guys, it's guys who could commit sooner rather than later, so on and so forth. I mean, it is a long, long list of possible visitors. And again, the key here is going to be, if you get a guy on campus in the first or second or third week of June, what are you going to do to make sure that he's still thinking about Penn State during the second half of the month or the last weekend of the month when he can go visit somewhere else? And then behind door number two, Jim, is will these guys get to make visits in July? I think they're still trying to figure that out. I mean, at this point, I would call it, I don't know, like 50-50-ish. Like, I do think that they could just get rid of the July dead period outright. I think they could keep it in some capacity. I don't think they're going to keep it in the way it normally is, where it just simply, you know, it just simply looks at, you know, the whole month of July, basically locks the whole month of July out for this. I think we'll have some kind of a, you know, a change up. But yeah, for the most part, I do think that we're going to have a busy summer, and it's going to be fascinating to watch for any number of reasons.
Looking at the list that you put together, and you put together three different weekends, here's my quick takeaway, if you could respond to this. It seems like you highlighted Jordan Anthony, a defensive back from Louisiana, who's going to show up June 18th. That appears to be the out-of-the-area weekend. People from Texas and North Carolina and Florida. The week of June 11th is the running back period with Nick Singleton and another highly regarded running back, Ramon Brown. And then June 25th is all the guys who have been committed to Penn State seem to be coming in then. Real quick, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, and there's a lot of strategy involved, Jim, into how these things play out, starting with getting the further away guys in the sooner to show them things before the end of the month.
All right. Thanks very much, Greg. Stick around in quarter number two. We are going to take a look at the elite programs in college football and see where Penn State stands. Stay tuned.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.